You can be opening your Bibles to Psalm 139. I mentioned Psalm 127 earlier. If you're using the Bible there provided, it's page 618. If you need a Bible, take that one home with you, and if you promise to read it, you can have it. And we would love to offer that to you. I am glad you're here. I'm going to be talking out of here about God's revelation that science didn't figure all this out for a long, long time. There's a lot of things in the Bible like that, statements of scientific fact that it wasn't necessarily speaking scientifically, but we found out later God knew all along what was happening. Amazing, isn't it? And so today we're going to do that, and I'm going to speak against the practice of abortion later on. And so right now and later, I'm going to emphasize this again. I want you to understand that if you are a woman and you have been through that, I understand, not by experience, but I know that that is something that brings guilt and can destroy your life. And I want you to know right now that in Jesus Christ, there's forgiveness and restoration for you. And I want to say that clearly. We don't hate anybody. We love everybody. But we have some very strong convictions about what we ought to be doing about some of that. So I just want to make that statement before I go. We're taking a break today from our series on the church that we keep seeming to add in to it. But it's going to go deep into March. But today we wanted to take the opportunity to talk about this, and I'm calling it from the womb to the world. It's God's gift and our responsibility. So I want you to look with me in Psalm 139. I'm going to read only a few verses from there, and they're verses 13 through 16. If you want to, well, just go ahead and let's stand up. I always debate whether to ask you to do that or not, but it's not very long, and we've been getting up and down a lot today, so it won't hurt. For you formed, verse 13, Psalm 139, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Would you pray with me? Father God, in Jesus' name and by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come boldly into the throne room. And God, we give you honor and glory. Today, Lord, we want to thank you for giving us life, for you reveal in your word, you made all the things that are in creation or have ever been in creation, and then you made what we'd call a clay model. You formed a man out of the dust of the ground, but then the Bible tells us that when you breathed into his nostrils, that your life came into him, and you had said before you started, we're going to make man in our image. And so, Lord, we thank you that we have that assurance that you love us, that you make us. In this psalm, we discover that you make every one of us. All of us are being fashioned and formed by the Master's hand. And so, Lord, we pray that we would realize that and that we owe our very life to you. We ask you to rebuke and resist and stop our enemy so that our minds could be made clear. We ask you to open our minds and our eyes that we can behold the wonderful things in your word. And when we see them, that we will obey them. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes when I'm preaching and we're trying to help you understand the word, we get more lesson-oriented. Like, I just want you to understand it. But in understanding it, we need to have practical application. And so I want to attempt to do that as well. Often, as I said, we speak of children as a blessing. And I said that earlier. And the Bible says they're even more than that. In the Psalm 127, it's just a couple of pages before this text. In verse 3, we read that verse. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. And that word heritage carries a special meaning. It means it is something given to us by God, and it is passed down from generation to generation. In other words, there is no child that's an accident. There's no child that is a oopsie. They are planned by God, formed by God, given by God, and they are given as a responsibility to us to teach them the ways of God, and that's passed on even into the New Testament. Children are a gift from God, and they are a spiritual heritage that we have in the world. And so you can't remain passive on this issue of the murder of the innocent unborn. That's what abortion is. We use that word, even we who believe it's wrong, we use that word very frequently. But it is the willful murder of a human being. Abortion is a great national sin, and God cannot bless this nation if the church doesn't address this. And so I would urge you, and I'll tell you how later, to write your representatives within our state, because now back in the state's hands, that we introduce bills that once again make abortion illegal in Virginia. We were headed that way, and it got changed when we got a different governor. Now, right now, we're about to lose this governor, so continue to vote and continue to write. But in Psalm 139, we see that God is very intricately involved in your creation, and that has a practical impact. We talk about self-esteem or self-worth, those kind of things. But here the Bible tells us what gives us an understanding that we are important. And that is that God himself made us. And that he made us for a purpose and a reason. And that he knows our whole life. And he is there to help us through everything. And so just take this home with you today. Children are a heritage from God. And so we need to nurture and guide them here on this earth while we have them and while we can. I want you to see in this text, first of all, that God is present at every conception. Look at verse 13 once again. Look at the very beginning of that verse. That God formed in my inward parts and knitted me together in my mother's womb. God was present in our mother's womb, making us uniquely as we are. I would love to, we don't have a lot of time, I'd love to get in a little bit of the science of it, but we scientists are unfolding and discovering how all that happens. And it is a process that begins at conception. At conception, we begin to grow. At conception, you become a human being. Just understand that. I'm going to reemphasize that a lot. But there the Bible is telling us that we are made, also we read this in Genesis, I mentioned it, it's called the Imago Dei. That is the Latin, which means the image of God, okay? And so we all carry the image of God in us. When we see someone, we get really loose in our thinking sometimes. We don't let the gospel form our thinking. And sometimes we can get to where we are. We can even sound ugly or evil or angry at groups of people or types of people. When you see someone that is screaming for their right to sin or are broken by life and they've broken themselves with addictions, when we see women captured and carried into slavery and these kinds of things, that is Satan using people to destroy the image of God. And so we need to have pity on those people and come at them with the gospel so that God can redeem them and heal them and make them new again. Amen? If you grew up in church like I did, my sister was giving that testimony for herself, it's real easy, I'm not saying her, but for me maybe to forget that because I've always been in church, I've always done all that. And we get this idea that maybe I'm not as bad a sinner as they. But I would remind you that probably the greatest Christian outside of Christ himself said, this is a worthy saying and worthy of spreading around, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost one. Paul said that. Listen, friend, without the grace of God, all of us would be broken and lost. And so we need to give the gospel to people who need it. And so since we're made in the image of God, at conception, that is the image of God. And it is a human being. People say, no. And so one of the arguments, I'm going to say more about that later, but, well, it's just a blob of cells. Well, so are you. They're now specialized and organized in a certain way. But you became a human at conception. Since our children, some are still here, you get what I'm saying. At that moment, you're nothing else but a human. And so when you destroy that, you destroy a human being. You got to dig that, you got to pound that into your understanding. And what does the Bible tell us about human beings? Jesus said every one of them is our neighbor, right? You remember the story, I don't have a lot of time, but Luke 10, a lawyer came to Jesus and said, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? He said, well, you tell me what the scripture says. And being a lawyer, he knew it. He said, well, love the Lord your God. He gave the Shema, all your heart, soul, and mind. And then he said, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, you got it. You do that, you'll get in. Now, here's the problem. None of us can ever do that without the help of God, right? So before Jesus could go on and explain that, this lawyer hoping to justify himself, because it's like, yeah, but you know, we don't really like those Samaritans because you know what happened. Some of them gave in when the Romans came in and all that, and so they're not really part of us, and we sure don't like people that aren't Jewish. And so the lawyer looked at him and said, so who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, oh, well, let me give a story. And he gives us the story of the Good Samaritan. And in that, all the religious people avoid helping them. But the Samaritan, the bad guy, takes care of the injured man. You remember the story, right? And he said, therefore, which one of those was that poor guy's neighbor? And he had to admit it was the guy that helped him. So friends, you and I are called to rescue and help the unborn. You following my logic? And it's more than logic, it's Bible logic. At conception, we are the image of God. That makes you my neighbor, and that means I got to love you. Period. Amen. Good. Secondly, I want you to see God makes us individuals. This is also important in how you and I should think about this. If you look there, and again, back in 13, you could repeat that, but look at verse 14 and 15 that follow it. I praise you, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Here's a description of what God is doing in that womb where he is forming that baby. Now, listen, I say it all the time, but it's God gave me this example so I could use it. But I'm a diabetic. God made me to turn into a diabetic. And I can cuss God. I can be mad at God. I can try to ignore that. Every time I find someone has discovered they're diabetic, especially my kind, type 1, I always go to them. And the thing I tell them is what I was told, and I took it to heart. So you can live with it or you can die with it. And I figured that God gave me this for a purpose, and so I better live with it, right? I better take care of it, and so that I can live to be an example to others. And sometimes we don't like what God did, but God's got a special purpose for every one of us. And it doesn't matter how he made you. It matters what you do with how he made you. And so I praise God for how he made me. And I ask him to use me in every way. And I hope he does that too. But here's something that we've discovered. Did you understand this very well? I kind of was joking about this the other day. That each of us has a unique DNA. And I can't say all those big words, but you know what DNA stands for. You're half your parent, your dad, and half your mom, but you're not either one of them. You're a new mix. You are an individual. I'll just quickly say, therefore, the body inside your body is not your body. It's a new individual. It's a new person made in the image of God. We are separate from our parents. We are crafted by God. Every new child is a masterpiece created by Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. And so we can honor God's creation by providing support to women in need. You heard this is what Comfort Care does. They are coming in from that comfort side, that help side, to help women to know that help is there. In fact, I know, and she doesn't have time to mention everything, but there's help for women who have already are post-abort, that they did have an abortion, and now they're having another crisis, and they just don't know what to do, to give them support and help and counseling, to bring them to the love of God. And so you can find out more from her about all those things. And by the way, the bottles and all are in the lobby. Go make yourself available afterwards. And so as a church, as a body of Christ, we're in a unique position to help those folks, right? And we got to get more serious about it. I mean, this is part of the abortion problem is our fault as a church or as churches, that we need to step in and we need to be the people of God. We need to be the salt and light in society to do something about it. Because God is personally involved in our development. I've already read it, but look at 16a there. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. Doesn't that, see, when I read unformed substance, that sounds like a blob of tissue, right? You still are a blob of tissue. But you have a soul, you have a spirit, and you're made in the image of God. And when we turn that over to God and he makes us brand new from the inside out, and here David is saying, even when I was had an unformed substance, God formed it. By the way, that goes into science just quickly. I know the doctor who has figured out how to cure diabetes, and it's just not available yet, but here's what he did. He had a thought. Everybody comes from that conception. That single cell starts to divide. And he said, there has to be a trigger that tells each cell what to become. Heart cell, eyeball cell, whatever it is. Something has to teach it to be tell it to be the insulin producing cells. And if I can figure out that trigger, I can make the pancreas grow new insulin cells. And he did. And he can. They just give you a shot once a day for 30 days as a protein and make your body grow new islets of Langerhans, which are the insulin producing cells in the pancreas. A lot of science there, but you got the point. God did that. I just want you to think about it. And David writes, when I was unformed, God was in there telling it what to do and exactly how to be. I find that fascinating. It blows my mind. I almost can't get my mind wrapped around it, but that's not anything new. There's a lot of things I can't get my mind wrapped around, but God is involved in that development in the first 9 months. He's putting us together in our mother's womb. He's throughout those 9 months making us in what we're going to become. And then we could, by the way, well, I'll come to that later. Don't worry about it. So listen, we ought to need help our expectant mothers, right? We need to give them emotional support, spiritual support, practical support. Why? Not just those in crisis pregnancies, but the ladies here in our church. Why? Well, because they're going through a lot. And I can just say that with brain knowledge, not with physical knowledge, but we got 3 children and we count 8 grandchildren, 5 by our children and 3 by our niece, but we count those in. And so we get it. We understand. And we need to give love and help and support to those mothers and those fathers. Because God has written our life in his book. Look at 16b. I know you've probably read this, but I hope you have thought about this. In your book were written every one of them, every what? The days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. The Bible repeats this in the New Testament. He says, those he foreknew, he predestined. He knew us before we were conceived. God said to Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb, and I destined you to be a prophet to the nations. Right? Do we believe that? Do we believe that? Because I'm going to give you a hard case in a minute. That means every baby in a mother's womb is formed by God and has a special purpose. And we need to understand that because our life is in his hands and it's written in his book. So we just need to take a stand against killing. Because here's the bad thinking. You say, we're all in here. Most of us are Christians. Some of us are here, but we're religious. And yeah, we don't like abortion. But what are we going to do about it? Well, here is the lie that a lot of people, even Christians, have accepted, or lies. There's several of them. This is how Satan works. One is it's not a baby's not a human, and it's not even a baby. It's a fetus. Guess what the word fetus is? It's the Latin word for human baby. So whenever somebody tells you that, say, well, I'll give you $1,000 if you go find me a scientific textbook that says a fetus is not a human baby, because there's not one that exists. Because that's what it is. So that is one of the twisted lies, because if you don't look it up, you don't know. Listen, in the coming days, it's been going on for a long time, for years and years, for eternity, but people are going to come up to you and they're going to say, did you know? And they're going to tell you some crazy thing. Or it may not even sound crazy, but here's the question you ask. What's your source? Where'd you get that? Because I promise you, they don't have a source, and they didn't get it. They only got it from rumor. And so, it is a baby human. It is a human, whether it's a fetus or a zygote, because when you're born at 9 months, you're not finished developing, are you? No, you didn't even walk or talk yet, right? You're going to grow, and then you're going to hit puberty, and then you're going to be post-puberty, pre-puberty, then you're going to be supposedly an adult. We just put a number on that, just hoping that we're guessing right. And then you're going to get older and older, and then one day you're going to look back and say, man, I thought it's going to take me longer to get this old. And then you're going to go to heaven. And in every stage, you're developing, you're becoming something else. Remember what Paul said? Even though this outer man is decaying day by day, I'm being strengthened day by day in the inner man. God is building us for heaven. He's going to give us a new body up there. I'm excited about that. Other people say, well, you know, it's okay because the baby's not viable on its own. It can't live on its own. Well, neither can a newborn. Lay it in the floor and leave it alone, it'll die. Neither can someone in the hospital on life support systems. So do we go in there and go, well, they can't live on their own, so we just might as well kill them. Just help them straighten out some of your thinking. Well, it's not alive. When does life begin is what they used to say. Well, and they'd say, well, life begins when you're born. Well, then why do you have to kill it? The only thing that's not alive is a rock. If it's a human being or a plant, it's alive. Come on, y'all. Y'all got to get a little excited. About it. Did you know, well, here's the next thing. This one, in a physical attack or in familial problems, people say, well, that's an exception. That's less than 1% of all abortion. So you can ask that person, well, let me ask you this. If you granted we'll grant you that condition, if it's a physical attack or a familial situation, would you be against abortion? Because 100% of them say no. Say, well, then don't use a less than 1% straw man to tell me that it's okay. Because we could stop 99% of all of it, just made that part illegal. Because I believe those who do the willful murder of a human being deserve death. That's what the Bible teaches. In Genesis 9:6, before the law, after the law, Romans 13, God has given government the sword to execute judgment and justice. So we need to abolish abortion just like we abolished slavery and make it illegal. Abortion will not be safe if we don't allow it. Well, it's not safe because 50% of the two people that went into it, one of them comes out dead. And by the way, that's a straw man as well, because a doctor can lie about a lot of stuff, but he cannot lie on a death certificate. He has to put down the actual cause of death. And in the year before Roe v. Wade, there were 63 deaths because of a botched abortion. 63 total in the whole country, instead of 4,000 a day. Now you do the math. Well, and then the last one, it's a woman's body, it's a woman's choice. The body in your body is not your body. It's a separate human being. So what's the right answer? We got to love and support women who are in crisis. We've got to give them love and support. If they are financially unable, if they are in a bad situation, adoption is an option, right? And we have to understand that. I heard the statistic, I hope I say this right, 7 million people waiting to adopt a baby. It might be less than that, but that's what I remember, so don't take me. But there's a bunch of people waiting for adoption. We have adoptive parents right here in our church, and they waited years and years and years to have the ability to have that child. So we got to care for the baby. We got to care for the mother. We got to pay for that. We got to love them. We got to support them. Some of them are cast out of their home or don't have anywhere else to go. We got to open ourselves up to helping them and housing them and doing all those things. And then I would say, church, this is just for us. This isn't for Miss Jen. She's got all this covered, but let me tell you us, just us. If you say you're against abortion and you're not willing to help the children we already got in the church, yeah, be quiet. If you're not willing to help the kids that are here, how are you going to help the kids that aren't here? Well, I'm not going to get amen on that one, I guess. I said it earlier, we need spiritual grandparents. I'm too old. No, you're not. You're an example. You're a helper. You can do something. You can support it. You can help it. We are struggling right now, and there's a lot of issues in that, and we're working on all of them. But I just want you to look deep in your own heart. What is your attitude? Because here's what I've seen even among Christians. People have multiple children, and we start saying stuff. You know how that happens, right? You know, and all of that. Did you hear what the Bible said about it? They are a heritage. God has given us a gift that we are to care for and to help them. And so I just want to give you the encouragement to give love and support, to care for the babies and his mother, to help in adoption in some way if you can. Foster kids, if you are able to do that, do that. Volunteer in the children's ministry just because you love families and children. And our kids need you. Our parents need you. And I can say that with a lot more emotion, a lot more vigor, but I don't think I need to. I think that's something God can put into your heart. I want you to just bow in your head with me in prayer. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to do anything like that. But I will say, when nobody's looking around, I want to say something with nobody looking at you. And that is this. If you're here today and you need the forgiveness of God in your life, you don't know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. If you, it doesn't have to be about this issue. If there's anything in your life and you say, God can't forgive me. Oh, yes, he can. He will. He wants to. He died on the cross so that he could. And so, after this service is dismissed, I will be here. Others will be here. But last week, someone stopped me and said, I want to talk to you about that. And it was a wonderful thing. And so if you're here and you need to talk to somebody, you can come talk to me. I'll be here. There are others you can talk to. But you've seen me. You know who I am. So you can come talk to me. But here's what I want the rest of us to do in this invitation. Ask God to search your heart and show you what you can do, what you should do, what you might be able to do. It doesn't matter what it is, just in a positive direction. It may be giving money to this campaign to help these volunteers, these people that are doing such a huge job with a few people here in our own city. And so that might be what God lays on your heart. He may lay on your heart to get involved personally. You may know someone that needs help, and you may open up your life and your home to them. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know exactly what it is for me either. But would you right now pray and ask God to show you how you can be involved, how you ought to be involved? We've come to a place in our society where we're afraid to speak up. And I think it's time we just started speaking up, maybe offending a few people. We ought to petition our government officials to do the right thing and protect human life. But whatever it is, just ask God to speak to you. Lord, you made us, and you made us to love you and to enjoy you forever. And Lord, we trust you for those that have died without ever having a chance. And we know that you are a sovereign God, and you know exactly, because you had their number written down. You knew everything about them, the days of their life. It started on day one at conception. There are women here who are hurting, some who've had miscarriages and lost children. And God, I know that their hearts break for the rest of their life. God, give them comfort. And knowing that you have it under control, you got everything in your hand. And Lord, we pray for those who have been lied to and fallen into this trap of our enemy. May they know your grace and your love that forgives them so they can be brand new. Lord, you have rescued so many women that way, and I pray you do it again. And for us, Lord, there's no need to pray that prayer if we weren't willing to do what you tell us. So God, give us willing hearts to obey you and to walk in your grace. God, we need you every hour. We need your grace every moment. For indeed, we grow complacent. We grow silent when we should speak up. And I ask, God, that you would help us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you an example of real courage before we leave. Brother Dave sent out to a select few of us, and we wouldn't probably share this with everybody, but just some of the people that we help support in other places in the world, we received a video of their martyrdom. And it was several. And it's gruesome. Now, they got a special welcome when they went to heaven. But I want to give you an illustration I read about the other day. And it was during the times of slavery. It wasn't on this continent, but on an island down the Caribbean, I believe. And there was a kind and generous landowner, even though he had slaves. And they would meet to worship, praise God. And some others didn't like them meeting together, thought they were going to band together to rebel. And so they went in at that meeting, and they killed all the people there except the leader, the pastor, the guy that became their pastor. And they made him kneel down where all those people were killed and said, "If you ever pray again, we'll take your head." And he looked up and said, "Let us pray," and bowed his head. God, give us that kind of courage. God bless you. Go with God.